Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, as 2023 comes to a close, there are some things maybe that you want to leave behind, some things you want to let go. Whatever you are trying to release and leave behind, you and I, most of us, may need some help in doing just that. Our guest tonight will help us get started to help us kick off 2024 the right way, the strong way. Our guest tonight in studio is Eric St. Bernard. She's a licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. And on the phone line with us is Dr. Ashley Elliott, doctor of clinical psychology, mental health educator, and an advocate. Again, the phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. Be part of this conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What is it that you are trying to let go and leave behind in 2023 to make 2024 a better and brighter year? Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with you, Ms. St. Bernard. We're talking about letting go, mm-hmm. right? That is so difficult. So the question is, as we are about to move into the new year, we want to let go of some of the stuff we don't want to drag into 2024. But that's hard, Erica. Mm-hmm, why is it so hard to sort of let go of stuff?
Yeah. One thing is we're creatures of habit, right? We've been doing most of the things that we want to let go of for a very long time. Otherwise, it'd be pretty easy, right? If you yep. just started a thing or a habit or a relationship or what have you, it'd be easier to walk away from it. But when you've spent quite a bit of time and energy and effort in a space or a place or doing an activity, that makes it harder to just walk away from it, harder to just put it down, harder to just say, okay, today I'm going to make the change and stick with it.
Ashley, what's your sense of why it's so difficult for us to let go, as Erica said, of the things that we know, of what we're used to? Is it just sort of the human condition where that just sort of comes with the territory?
First, I want to say hi and happy new year to you, Bramante, and
Thank
Erica.
You.
Thank you for having me. So I think, yeah, it's a little bit of it. We love what's familiar, mm-hmm. whether it is yep. negative or positive or neutral. Familiar is safe mm-hmm. to us.
Yep.
So when it comes along to I can go for something new, that creates a certain set of anxiety that makes us feel like, you know what, I don't know if I'm prepared for that. Mm-hmm. I am content or okay with this sense of comfort that this familiarity provides me, whether that habit is lending to a coping mechanism or whether that habit is lending to avoidance. Mm-hmm. And that habit can be people. It mm-hmm. can be a behavior. It can be you just being so used to not going for more because more seems scary. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Erica, you yeah. both, you're kind of just scaring me with this. With that line of whether it's good mm-hmm. or bad.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, because you know, most times the things we need to change or let go of are not often good things.
Right.
It's not never, right? Because that's, mm-hmm. I don't want to speak in absolutes, but generally the things.
Yeah, because if it's good, you want to hang on to it.
Yeah, most of the time we want to hang on to it, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's something that we know is harmful to us or hurtful to us, or sometimes if we're honest, the change isn't always just about us, but it's also impacting the people we are mm-hmm. in relationships with, right?
Okay.
That may be romantic relationships within our family or professional soul mm-hmm. relationships. So making sure that we're mindful of the fact that, yes, there are, as Dr. Ashley mentioned, the anxiety that's created when we want to make a change, because I know this, right? Her adage, you better stick with the devil you know,
right?
So it's like, I know,
it's
mm-hmm. like, I absolutely know this. I know that it's going to do this thing. It's going to be this place. It's going to feel this way. Change requires that I move into a space that is unknown, where I don't know, where I don't have a sense of bearing. I don't, you know, you've been to a new place and you're trying to figure out where I am. You're trying to find your location. Think about the mall. You go to the directory. You're looking for that spot that says you are here so that you can find where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. And change, you're abandoning that. You're moving away from the space where I know where I am. I know what I want to do. I want to do something different. And sometimes that is something that creates a fear factor for us. And so we'll say, even though I know it is good to make a change, even though I know it would be beneficial, because I can't see, and most times change isn't a linear path from here to there. Mm-hmm. And that's the other piece of it, right? Uh-huh. There's usually those steps, right, Dr. Ashley? There's the steps we've got to take that I'm not always 100% sure of. And so, yeah, I'll just stay here, even though I know I'm not comfortable, or maybe I know it's not productive. I know I'm not getting what I want out of it. It's not serving me. I'll stay put.
Dr. Ashley, how do you know when to let go? I know that's a very, I know that's broad, and it could depend on both of you, I'm sure, with your clients. It just depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. But is there a general kind of, I mean, there are some signs when you need to know when to let go. And of course, we can get into specifics, like, you know, we're talking about letting go. I know a lot of it is we're talking human connections. But just from that standpoint, how do you know? What signs should we look for?
I always tell my clients to take assessment of your energy level. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel drained by this person, by this thing? Are you feeling fatigued with the thought of interacting or being a part of something? Yeah. Does the thought of connecting or interacting cause you anxiety? You know, sometimes that, ooh, I don't even know if I want to ask this phone. I don't know what's going to happen. What they got to tell me now? Or do you feel like nothing has changed? Mm-hmm. The thing about life is we should feel some aspect of growth and change. And if you feel like there's no movement, something should change or something no longer serves you. I tell something I say to my clients on a regular basis, especially this time of year, is audit your closet and see what no longer fits you. If it's too tight, it's no longer belonging to you. If it's too big, that means it does not fit in this moment. And sometimes you need to look for a different trajectory of growth. Sometimes we hold on to things, like we said, because they're familiar, they give us comfort. But sometimes you hold on to things or you don't let go because you don't want to be the bad guy. You don't want to be the villain. You don't want to be odd man out. And if all of those thoughts are weighing on you or draining you, that's a sign that you need to move and you need to change towards something that benefits you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about trying to let go of the things that we feel like are holding us back, keeping us down, or have done so in 2023, bad habits that we keep carrying from year to year, and how can we sort of leave that stuff behind heading into 2024. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Erica St. Bernard, you are a licensed clinical marriage and family therapist.
I am.
So you are probably dealing with issues of letting go, moving forward in terms of marriage, in terms of family. Talk a little bit about that dynamic. That's a whole different kind of habits, letting go, breaking loose, moving forward. That can get tricky, right?
It absolutely does get tricky. The hardest part is, you know, most relationships, or all relationships with other people, require the other people to participate. Right. Mm-hmm. And as much as we know that to be true, sometimes that is the challenge, is that I can't make this person do what I want them to do or even what they said they would do. And so sometimes that's the issue where, you know, Dr. Ashley mentioned, what's your energy around these people? Not even just are you depleted, but is there any fullness that you feel when you're with them? Is there any fulfillment in the interaction? Do you enjoy being with these people, right? And if those are not the people, then sometimes that's where we, in couples therapy or in sessions with individuals who are there to talk about their relationship and the role they play in it, one of the questions is, how does this relationship serve you? Tell me when the relationship is good, what makes it so? And sometimes that is where people get stuck.
Because they can't give you an answer.
They can't give me an answer. They can't give themselves an answer. I'm asking the question, but the question and the answer is really for them, right? So sometimes that's the question. It is, okay, so how is this relationship serving me? And not in a self-serving, selfish only kind of way, but from the perspective of, I want a relationship, or most people want a relationship that is mutually beneficial, right? I'm giving, I'm taking, you're giving, you're taking, we're in this together. Sometimes relationships are quite lopsided. I am the giver all the time. And certainly at the end of the year, a lot of people are, as Dr. Ashley mentioned, doing some sort of a closet audit where we're like, hey, wait, so this relationship has been going on for X amount of time. And I'm realizing that I'm depleted often, or I'm just not feeling supported. Or so it's really creating a space for individuals and couples to not just audit, but to consider if they're willing to do the work that it will, you know, take to improve the relationship. Because every relationship doesn't have to end because we're not in a good space. If we're willing, both parties, if both people are willing to do the work to change their own behavior, to change their own limited mindset, to show up differently for conversations and for interactions, relationships can improve over time. But if only one person is willing, then my analogy with couples sometimes is one of you is pushing the car up the hill and the other person is in the back seat with their hands behind their head.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the most effective way to push it. Like, mm-hmm. wouldn't you want your partner to get out and push with you? Mm-hmm. Or wouldn't you want them behind the driver's seat so they could at least help you to shift and navigate?
Mm.
But you're in the back seat mm-hmm. with your hands behind your head. And so I ask clients to take a look at what you're seeing. You know, tell me what you're noticing. And sometimes I will say what I'm noticing is, and the light bulbs will come on like, oh, I had not noticed that this person hadn't spoken the whole session. I hadn't noticed that this person's been on their phone four times. Mm. I hadn't noticed that this person is checked out. And so it's really about observing client behavior activities and really posing questions that help them to look reflectively inward and to see the role they're playing.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. A lot of important information being shared already early in this segment. We want to hear from you as well. We're talking about letting go of some of the things we don't want to carry into a new year. Phone lines are open. Let's go to the phone lines now. Lisa is calling from Waldorf. Lisa, go right ahead with your question or comment. Lisa, are you there? Okay, Lisa, give us a call back. Let's go to Chelsea calling from the district. Chelsea, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, I just wanted to add letting go of old habits, or rather unlearning old bad habits that we were taught growing up, and learning that, different communication styles. And it's okay to have difficult conversations in order to grow and evolve within your relationship or simply within yourself. It's important to have those difficult conversations with our partner so that we both can grow and move forward.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Chelsea. Dr. Ashley, she sounds like she's really echoing Erica in so much and what she's saying about relationships. And obviously, we can talk a lot more about letting go of other things, but often, you know, we get to this point and folks are talking about the people that they're mm-hmm. dealing with one-on-one relationships, whether it's family members, you still want to see them, you still want to mm-hmm. go over for Christmas dinner. You got to have some separation mm-hmm. From that standpoint. Should folks be trying to do that on their own? Because I'm listening to mm-hmm. Erica and she's so articulate and what I mean by that, about the information that you're giving mm-hmm. that, I'm listening, I'm going, wow, thanks. You know, folks probably need to be talking mm-hmm. to other people mm-hmm. to help let mm-hmm. go of things. Mm-hmm. How do we handle that? Because a lot of folks are afraid of seeking out mm-hmm. a Dr. Ashley Elliott, seeking out a Erica St. Bernard.
Sure.
What do you say to that, Dr. Ashley? Should folks try to do it on their own, or should they get help? And I know it's not a black or white question.
No, it's not a black or white question, but it's a great question, mm-hmm. because especially when we talk about those who are a part of the black and brown community, mm-hmm. that it is really hard for us to wrap our hands around the notion that we should bring a stranger into our business.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been taught that growing up, that we need to shield the outside from what goes on in our houses.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, those things end up spilling out because mm-hmm. they're not properly processed and explored. So I say this, if your tooth hurts, you're going to go to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
If you've had a fever for 2-3 days, you're going to go to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a car accident and your back or your neck hurts, and even if you don't think it hurts, you're going to go mm-hmm. to the doctor, and you're going to go to PT, whatever it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Your mental health, your mm-hmm. emotional health, your spiritual health mm-hmm. should be judged and seen and held in the same way. So if you feel that something is off, and you've been trying to maintain it,
mm-hmm.
go and talk to someone who has the tools to help you. And I always say there's a lot of negative connotation with therapy in this very sterile field from media.
Mm-hmm.
We all don't sit on the couch with a notepad. Mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Looking at the clock. You know, we mm-hmm. don't do that. Listen, you are an expert in your life, mm-hmm. and I am the expert in how to help you navigate that.
Yeah.
So we are a team. It's a collaborative effort. Anytime you feel that you as a player don't have enough, you get more. Whether mm-hmm. it's an athlete, whether you're a student searching for knowledge, you are allowed to get more for yourself because you are owed that. And you deserve that. And sometimes, let's be real, even though we want to talk about things and maneuver through things on our own or with our family and friends, you need an unbiased, non-judgmental ear that can help you navigate those things and ask you questions that your friends, that your mama, that your auntie, mm-hmm. that your cousins, mm-hmm. and sometimes that you haven't even mm-hmm. asked yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we talk about really understanding what therapy is, it's not just you coming and sitting down and talking to the lady. It's you really opening yourself up to self-exploration in a way that honors your vulnerability and honors the person that you want to be.
All right, we're going to take a break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, and that's you, Joe, stay right there. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR 96.3. This discussion, as we said, will continue on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we're talking about moving into 2024 without bringing a whole lot of baggage behind you. We probably do this every year. We all say, I'm not going to bring this with me. I'm not going to bring this relationship with me. I'm changing jobs. I'm going to save money. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to exercise more. I'm sure there's plenty more on the list, but those tend to be the biggies, right? So how do we move into 2024 and let go maybe even some of those trends of saying we're going to do this and we don't do it, and or we continue to bring along and pull along these bad things that really aren't good for us? Joining us tonight for the conversation in studio is Erica St. Bernard. She's a licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. And on the phone line is Dr. Ashley Elliott, doctor of clinical psychology, mental health educator, and advocate. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Joe is calling from the DMV. Go right ahead, Joe, with your question or comment.
For the interview. I'm enjoying the show as always. I'd say thank you and to your guest. I'm kind of like enjoying myself. I haven't started a new relationship.
I think you're breaking up. You may have a problem with your the connection with your phone. So try to give us a call back and see if we can clear that up, because we've lost you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Ashley, I want to talk a little bit now about some other things, maybe outside sort of marriage and family, and we can kind of get back to that. But letting go of things, let's say a lot of us are in toxic situations in terms of work. Mm-hmm. I mean, we spend mm-hmm. so much time with our jobs, and many of us are always looking for the next best thing. And what's the saying that you never leave a job, you tend to leave your supervisor? But in terms of work, we're so connected to that. We're often so defined by what we do. Is that the same kind of scenario where it's hard to let that go, leave that behind, even if it's not working for us? How do we work our way through that dynamic? We want to leave this job, but we can't. Either we're afraid of leaving it, or we can't find a new job, or we don't have the skills. How do we sort of get ourselves settled and in the right frame of mind with a workplace environment for 2024 if we're not there right now?
That's actually a really, really great question. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think I operate in the idea of if something does not serve me, I must turn it loose. Mm-hmm. Because if I do not serve them, they will turn me loose.
Uh-oh. So, that part.
Period, as my daughter would say.
Mm-hmm. So it's the idea of when we talk about work, a lot of us, especially in this era after, you know, COVID, we're actually still dealing with it, but, you know, in the pandemic and financially, a lot of things were really tight. So it was the idea that I have to stay in this in order to survive. Mm-hmm. So what is your plan to come out of survival? Because survival, do you exist? Do you survive or do you live? Mm-hmm. So making your plan to move from surviving to living. If your job is making you miserable because of workplace antics, low pay, all of these things, it is still putting you in survival mode. So if you say, well, if I stop everything and if I quit the job, then you would still be in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're already working to survive, miserable, let's move to work to survive with a little bit of anxiety, but more hope for what we can bring into our lives. So if that means you, when people say they don't have a skill set, I said, I always ask you, how old are you? And you give me what your age is. And I say, you have this many years worth of experience.
Mm-hmm.
What things can you do? What things do you love? If you had everything lined up for you, what would you do right now? And some people say, well, I can't. Just tell me what you can mm-hmm. do, what it would look like. And when we start talking about things realistically, you find that you may be closer to that dream or closer to, you know, that vision manifesting than you think it is. Job security, you know, community security, all of those things are going to be really scary, especially if you have a family or you have other obligations.
Mm-hmm.
You can create a safer space for you. Because at the end of the day, if you're at a job where there, whether there's harassment, pay, you know, maybe there's a toxic supervisor, that's not good for your mental health, your emotional health. And 9 times out of 10, you're coming home and you're venting on a regular basis about mm-hmm. how that is impacting you, mm-hmm. which is spilling over into your personal life. So if we take a step back and I say, I remove myself from this, because this realm or this level of survival mode isn't good for me. If I shift into another space of survival where it's just like, okay, I have to make sure things are floating into the next gig or while I'm making this dream manifest, you have actually cleared up a lot of that negative space. You don't have the coworkers. You don't have the back and forth. You're like, well, I don't got the check. You barely had the check before if you told me what you told me.
Mm-hmm,
so move intentionally. Sometimes we anchor ourselves to things that are not aligned with our intentions, and we wonder why they're not working, because it wasn't yours. You can't hoard things that don't belong to you. And if that job doesn't belong to you, it simply takes up space from the opportunity that is trying to make its way for you. So move those things around and make room for what's really for you, and stop holding on for what you settled for in the moment.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about sort of letting go from the old into the new, from 2023 to 2024. Erica, can we sometimes make a mistake of letting things go that we shouldn't, because we do it just for the sake of, I need change? And I can kind of hear you in my head almost, and I'm wondering, I'm like, is she going to say what she's already said? Is you've kind of got to assess. But, you know, some folks just like change for the sake of change. Can that be problematic, that you're changing all the time?
It can be. It can be. It can also be effective. I think everything is, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in the Bible, and it says not everything that is permissible is beneficial. So just because I can keep moving and changing doesn't mean that it's to my benefit to keep moving and changing. That also does not mean that just because I've always done this that I always have to do this, right? So there's flexibility. And I think the conversation around assessing where I am and what's working or not working provides a space where we can think about, okay, how is this job serving me? What are the roles and responsibilities or the tasks of this current job that I may not love or want to continue with? But what are the parts of it that, do work for me, right? Because sometimes that's it. It's figuring out, if I don't do this, then what will I do? And some for some people, even that feels like a major task. And so they say, never mind, I'll just stay at this job with these people.
Too
and
hard.
I won't move. It's too much.
It feels too big, right?
Yeah. So if we talk about if there's an elephant that you have to eat, and I don't know why we use that analogy, but an elephant feels like a very sizable thing. And if I'm trying to eat an elephant, I can't eat everything at once. I have to take a chunk at a time or a bite at a time. And so when we can zoom out and say, okay, if I look at this job, do I like the hours? Okay, maybe I'll hold on to that. Do I like the type of work I do? Maybe it's just the people I have an issue with. Okay, great. Maybe it's, so we trying to, you know, fine tune what are the things I'd want to hold on to, but then what are the things I'd like to add, you know, in the new space, or how would I, you know, add or supplement those things to what currently exists. And so the conversation around assessment is important, but there's also a moment where we can assess for ourselves, what is it that I've always wanted to do, right? One of the callers mentioned the notion of unlearning. Some of us as children, we were, you know, people would ask us, what are you going to be when you grow up? And we would riddle off 5 to 7 things. And they would say, no, pick one. And so then you picked one. But maybe that one wasn't the one.
Right.
But maybe that was, you had to grab something. Maybe you had to choose the safest one or the one that was like the lowest hanging fruit. And so when we find ourselves in an adult season where we have the autonomy and we have the opportunity to reassess, do I like the life I'm living right now? And if I don't, what am I willing to do about it? Because nobody else can do it for me. Even if I'm partnered, they can't do it. My children can't do it. But guess what happens when I make a move and I've talked to the people at home, right, to make sure we're in alignment. My partner is going to be happier because I'm happier. My kids are going to be happier because I'm happier, right? There's going to be a shift that happens for me that then has these ripple effects for the people I'm connected to.
Can it, can that be viewed as a selfish act?
I think it can be if we are not, one, considerate of the people we're connected to and how that shift is going to impact them, which is why I said talking to the people at home. As a wife of many years, I'm mindful personally, but also professionally, of the necessity for us to communicate with the people we're doing life with. I don't have to, you know, not every single finite detail, maybe, but the notion that, hey, I'm really unhappy in this job and I've been thinking about making a transition. I'm looking for something that offers the same pay because I know that I carry the benefits or whatever. So having a real conversation. So I'm not suggesting that you have this self-reflective moment by yourself and you go and quit your job and then you come home and people just have to deal with the consequences. That's probably not the wise way to go about it. But this opportunity to say, hey, I'm really feeling, you know, away, as some people would say, I'm feeling away about this. I'm really feeling away about this job, about this season, and I want an opportunity to do something different. When you are able to communicate that with your partner, and when your partnership can withstand some change and the tension of and friction of change, together, hopefully you can strategize. And sometimes a therapist can be helpful and other people can be assistive too, to help you think about what that will look like. Is it a launch of a business? Is it the seeking of employment elsewhere? In the meantime, do we hold on to this job and transition, or do we quit this job? And what does that look like as far as managing the finances and keeping the household together? But it's really about communication, and it always goes back to that, because yes, I am an individual and I want to be happy and I want to do what serves me and, you know, adds value to the world. Yes. And I'm also a partner, so I have responsibilities to the husband and family I have. And so I can't make individual moves all by myself without having at least checked in with people to let them know where I am.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Great advice as we're getting preparing for 2022. And it's free advice, folks. So if you've got a question, you better call now because it doesn't cost you anything. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ashley, before I come back to you, Erica, you mentioned something about spirituality. Get that out. And talk a little bit about that when we're talking about making moves and letting go and shedding things, how that can play into how we move about or how we try to move forward.
Yeah, certainly. I have the majority of my caseload currently, clients that I have, sought me out because they could talk about faith and spirituality. That was one of the main criteria when I asked. So what made you seek, you know, what made you find me? And then when you found me, what made you select me over the other therapist? Mm-hmm. First, it's a woman of color. That's always important. Mm-hmm. And then there's, mm-hmm. I knew I could talk about my faith. You said that that was something you would make space for. Mm-hmm. And so when people are making adjustments and making decisions and wanting to change their lives, for people of faith, that is very much a, you know, an anchor, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's the thing that is going to, because there's a level of peace, a level of comfort, a level of ease, a sense of hope. God wants us to do well, right? Ultimately, that's what we believe as believers. God wants us to do well. He wants us to fare well in the world. And so he also wants to help to guide us in the decisions we're going to make. And so for some people, it is they will find a verse of scripture that helps them navigate through a season, right? A prominent one is Isaiah 43:19, I believe it is, where it says, behold, I do a new thing, right? Behold, it springs up before you. Do you not perceive it? And sometimes it is the new thing. And we're like, oh, it's new and it's shiny and it's I want that. But it's like, so how do I get it? And what do I do? And how do I sustain it? And what skills do I need to, you know, tag into? And how do I need to grow? And so tapping into faith is something that many people find additionally supportive, because sometimes our friends and family are not advocates for the shifts we're trying to make because it's going to make them uncomfortable.
Oh, boy.
It's going to cause, you know, some tension, right? The money is not going to be what it was, or maybe something else will be off. And so faith can be a space where we're not only grounded and feel supported, but we can also have some guidance. Again, scripture can be a guiding space. You know, so I tell clients often, for those who are wanting to engage faith, to find scriptures that are aligned with what you're believing God for as it concerns the change and transitions you're looking forward to. Put those scriptures where you'll see them, on your visor, in your car, put them in your mirror, you know, mirror in the vanity space as you're getting ready, so that there's that kind of reminder feeding your spirit, even while you may be consulting with career coaches, or while you may be updating your, you know, your profile on LinkedIn, or updating your resume. Do all those natural things. But scripture says that faith without works is dead. So I'm not telling you just believe the Bible and the job is going to find you. That's not what it says. So I've got to do the parts that I can do and be responsible to those things, even while I'm trusting and believing that God has something great in mind and in store for me. And so it is the two of those things coming together where you can say, God, this is all my effort. This is all the things I've put forward. And I'm now believing you to assist me in that process. And what I've seen happen for myself and for other people who engage faith, it's not immediate. It's not overnight. Mm-hmm. But there is this process of clarity that comes, so that as I'm making decisions, I'm making them from a sharper space. I'm not making them from an emotional space of fear, like I got to hurry up and pick something, because sometimes that's where we find ourselves. I got to choose something.
Right.
And then we choose something and that's not the right something. And then we're frustrated, right? So it's giving ourselves some time. That's the other piece that feels like, but I don't have time.
No, right, yeah.
It's, but you spent all that time over there.
Yeah, but now we want to hurry up.
Right.
As we get, we want to get here quicker.
Yes, quicker.
Yeah, because I wasted
so much time there.
There.
Right.
And so, Dr. Ashley, that just sort of transitions into that wait, patience, time. I want to read this little note. I was one of these little articles I found. It says, how you handle the past is often more important than what actually happened that caused the hurt, if there's hurt, in the first place. Holding on to your grievances indefinitely will most likely hurt you more than it hurts the offending party. And it was about sort of blame and the past and trying to move forward. And I know I'm kind of shifting back a little bit in relationships, but I think all of that kind of deals with trying to kind of move forward, right? Is forgiveness, when we're trying to let go, does that play a role in moving forward and letting go of bad habits, bad things, bad relationships, forgiving yourself, forgiving a person that, you know what I mean, that you're dealing with? If you got an addictive personality, you got to forgive those addictions. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that, sort of the forgiveness angle of things and trying to let go?
Definitely. Erica might have, I have a controversial take when it comes to forgiveness.
I was wondering where you were going. I was like, listen, let's see what happens. Yes, let's.
So I often tell a client, to my friends and my family, that so often that we get boggled down by how, what we need to do to earn back the good graces of others, that we fail to give that same respect to ourselves. Whereas so ready to work on forgiving someone else that we haven't forgiven ourselves for the times that we didn't speak up for ourselves, for the times we put other people first, for the times that we did that thing when we said we didn't need to, for the times that we didn't have the tools, but we made ourselves feel bad like we should have. There are so many things that we need to work on with ourselves. And I was raised in the church. I always tell you, I was Roman Catholic, then I left. And I went to Baptist, and I was left. Then I have a really, yeah, so y'all know how I feel about shame and forgiveness. I have a really serious spiritual connection with forgiveness. I tell clients, it took me forgiving myself to realize that even in the Bible, it talks a lot about forgiveness in order to move on and to heal. But I realize, especially working through trauma, I don't owe you my forgiveness. You don't get to get that. You don't. Everyone doesn't deserve forgiveness. What we deserve is understanding. Why this happened? Why I would, put someone in a position to do this? Why I did what I did? What were the circumstances? And when we focus more on understanding, it will help us. It will help us figure out: is this a situation where I lean in forgiveness, or is this a situation where I lean into a lesson and how to forgive and protect myself to set up better boundaries, to analyze who I am vulnerable with in certain aspects of self, to think about what situations do I allow myself in because I am thirsting for something from others. What do I lack that I am chasing that has led me to forget myself so that I have to constantly think about forgiving myself or blaming myself? Because most of the time we'll blame ourselves before we forgive ourselves. It's so easy to say, I did this wrong, instead of, at that time, I didn't have enough, but now I know better. I forgive you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Still a few minutes for you to get in your questions, your comments, what you're trying to let go of as you move into the new year. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Insight segment, but we'll be right back right after this timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. We're just a couple of days away from 2024. And, we all make New Year's resolutions. We all put in our minds how we're going to be a better me in 2024. We're not going to do some of the same old things. We're going to let go of some of those bad habits, bad relationships, bad approaches that we've had the past year moving into the new year. We want to release them, but that's often very hard to do. And tonight we're trying to get some help how to do that with our experts in the house. Erica St. Bernard, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. Grief. All right. When we're talking about letting that go, none of us want to feel that.
Sure.
But talk about that and where it plays in that whole letting go scenario.
Yeah. Most of the time, what we're holding on to serves a purpose. It comforts us. It provides support in some way. It is familiar, as we said at the top of the hour. We're comfortable with it. And so letting the very act of letting it go means that there's going to be a hole here, right? And generally speaking, we talk about grief in terms of death and dying. But grief is also a component of change.
Yeah.
And so as I'm deciding to lose weight, right, to eat right, to work out, to, change my friend circle, whatever it might be, those things require me letting go of something that was serving the old me. And the letting go of that part, even though I know it's in exchange for something better, still feels the way it feels. And so it's important to make space for the heaviness of, man, I really miss going to that drive-thru to get that meal, right? I really miss going to his house, her house. I really miss going to the spot for that thing or this thing, right? So it's really just about acknowledging, not just about like to minimize it, but it's really about acknowledging that with change, it is appropriate to assume that there will be some grief. And so when I'm working with individuals and couples, I'm helping them to understand that sometimes what, feels really amazing about change is great. And then sometimes in the process of change, it doesn't feel great, but that doesn't mean change isn't good for us. And it doesn't mean that change isn't effective or it's not going to be beneficial. But for right now, it might be a tender spot. It might be sore. Kind of like when I talk to clients about wounds, right? When we get an injury, you know, you get, and I'm not talking about like a little bump on the leg. I'm talking about like an injury that requires, you know, some bleeding and some mm-hmm. scabbing, right? Initially, that spot is super tender and you guard it with your life. Like you're real protective. You put your elbows out when you mm-hmm. walk past people to make sure they don't hit that spot of you. And as it gets, you know, heals, you get a scab. And then that scab is tender too. But it's not as tender as it was when it first happened, right? And then if you're like some people who like to pick scabs, right? Before it's healed, you pick the scab. And now it's more tender than it was with the scab on mm-hmm. it, right? And so this idea of not just leaving it alone, because that sounds easy to say, just leave it alone. You tell people, don't scratch it, just leave it alone. But when there's an itch, your natural inclination is to scratch. And so it's figuring out how can we find effective ways that are aligned with the change we want to make that may not be a direct scratch to what we're trying to itch, right? Or itch to what we're trying to scratch, but would serve a purpose in helping us to get closer to the goal. And so for some people, that is community. And it doesn't have to be a lot of people. Some people hear community, like, oh, I don't want that many people.
Right.
It can be a small number of people. It can be one person. It can be a therapist. It can be somebody from church. It can be somebody in your family who is aligned with the new vision you have for your life in this area. And so it's really about, as Dr. Ashley mentioned before, forgiving ourselves for some of the patterns we've allowed to continue. And then acknowledging that as I release those things, I may experience some sadness about it. But then there's hopefully some opportunity to inspire hope. That I'm looking forward to what is to come as a result of letting that go. Now I'm making room for this new thing that I'm going to experience, this new lifestyle, this new habit, this new experience that's going to come on the heels of letting that old thing go.
And Dr. Ashley, whether it's, you know, you've got, as Erica said, sometimes we've got these addictive things. I mean, it could be we overeat. You know, it could be drugs. It could be a number of things that are not good for us. But even when we know they're not good for us, the change, the scary part of change, right? And I always think of how to really work through that fear, even when you know what you're in, what you're doing isn't good for you, and you know the other side is better for you. I think it still gets to that basic of like, but I'm afraid of that. How do you really even work through that fear? Do you have to sit in it? Is that therapy? If you don't want to go through therapy, how do we break through that fear? It's a simple question, and I know there's no simple answer.
But I think of it this way. You say, okay, this is a thing that has a chokehold on me, whatever it is, addiction, relationship, habit. You're like, I'm scared to let this go because, as Erica was saying, we grieve the thing, letting go of things that have been so familiar to mm-hmm. us.
Familiar, I like that word, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I always say, you are scared about what happens next. Could you please remember that you existed before? So that means you existed before this thing was in your life. You existed before this person was in your life. You existed before this habit was in your life. You existed and you lived. So that means you know what it feels like to not have this thing and to be able to move day to day. You also know what it felt like to be in the throes of it and feel like I can't do this day to day. So now that we know that we have lived before and now that we know we have lived through, what's stopping us from living after? You know, and you say fear. Okay, but I told you that you've lived a life without this. You've lived a life without this drug, without this person. And people go, well, I have to throw it away all now. Sometimes you have to take baby steps, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And do I have to, one of my favorite things they tell clients when they're breaking up with somebody, like, oh my gosh, I have to block their number. Like, say, I need you to say their name, but put your best friend's number in there. So every time you go, you feel like you need to call this person, mm-hmm. guess who you call?
Mm-hmm.
Your best friend. And what is that doing? Replacing mm-hmm. that empty feeling mm-hmm. with a familiar feeling that is positive and healthy.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is the advice that we need, positive and healthy, going into the new year. She is Dr. Ashley Elliott, Doctor of Clinical Psychology, Mental Health Educator and Advocate. and Erica St. Bernard, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. Thank you both so much. Just fantastic information, fantastic advice, and we're going to try to take it to heart as we move into 2024.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Definitely does. Thank you for having me. And Erica, I'm about to sit on your couch.
Sounds good, so let's connect.
That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 29th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great and happy New Year's Eve. Be safe. We'll see you in the new year in 2024. But for now, have a great night.